Dr. Sadai would like to be here today. He'd like to be at this conference, but he's in Australia, and his wife is about a week away from her due date for with their first child, so he thought he'd better stay home. So, and it's probably a good choice. So I'm going to do my best to try to explain some of this. This is actually an offshoot of some of the work I'm doing, so I know a little bit about it. If you have a lot of questions, I can give you Morales' email address, and you can talk with him. But I'd just like to acknowledge some of the co-authors. Morales is the main person who did most of the work on this, and then I helped them out with some of the cotton samples that I had, and also Mike Lieberman at the Jennings Lab in Las Cruces, and our research leader Ed Hughes there also. So, and Morales, it says New Mexico State there, he's actually working out of from Australia now, which is a pretty good deal, I think. But this project kind of came out of, like I said, one of the projects I was working on, and it's actually a project that came from another project that is a CI supported project where we did a beltwide survey and collected a whole lot of samples at some different gins. And during that time when we were looking at that, I started asking around some people that I know in the textile industry, Gary Gamble and John Folkes and those guys, and they were looking at dust on spinning equipment and trying to figure out what it was that was gumming up the equipment. And I kept asking them, I said, well, what size are those particles? And nobody really looked at that, what size particles were on the equipment. And I asked a few more people, and we kind of put it on the back burner, but I had the opportunity to look at some lint samples from gins, and I decided, well, I want to see what size particles are actually in there, not just what the mean particle size is, but what the distribution was. And then actually from that, Morales had the opportunity then to look at some of the equipment that he's developed and further analyze how well it works. So this is kind of like a project built on a project built on a project. CI dollars trickling down all the way to many different things. So the objectives that we had here are actually, we wanted to develop and these are far-reaching objectives. Mike Morales and Mike Lieberman have been working on this trash identification system for a number of years. And so if you go back away from the beginning, the objectives go all the way back to actually developing a way to look at small trash in cotton, an imaging system. And we want to be able to categorize those particles, not just by size, but they actually had the idea they wanted to categorize them by type also. We want to be able to evaluate that system and see how repeatable it is, and this is one of the objectives actually of this research itself, and also compare those measurements that we get with our system with APHIS and MDTA-3 and some of the measurements that are used more often today. Of course, most of you are familiar with current techniques, the APHIS system, where we look at foreign matter and categorize trash by size, Shirley Analyzer, or the more, I guess, technologically advanced souped-up version of the Shirley with MDTA-3, where we get trash, the amount of trash in the lint, and also with MDTA-3, we don't have invisible waste. We actually capture that on a filter, and you can get an amount of dust, and then HVI measurements. So why was Merle, Dr. Sadai, looking at imaging techniques? We know that the nice thing about imaging techniques is they're non-intrusive. Those measurements tend to be high speed. If we compare that to, say, the MDTA-3 measurement, the difference in time is huge in terms of being able to determine how much trash is in a sample. And so that's something that is very nice to have. And then the idea also is that sometime along the way, if you can do something quickly, then maybe you can implement it online, maybe in a gin system or a textile type of facility. So there are some advantages to try and do something by an imaging type of technique. Most of you are familiar with this, but I'll go through real quickly. How do we identify trash? What are the approaches? Well, there's basically five different steps: image acquisition, segmentation, labeling, measurement, and then categorization. If we look at those a little bit in more in depth, the image acquisition, of course, is actually take a picture. That may be with a camera. The system that we're using for this research, we actually is a scanner-based system. Actually your average scanner that you pull off the shelf at the Office Max or whatever, and use that, but a little bit higher resolution on some things. Image segmentation, where we isolate the non-lint fraction in the image once we have that image, and get that isolated from the background, and hopefully all the background is lint. And then label those particles in terms of of size or actually category what they might be, and then put them in those categories and separate them and count them so that we have an idea and we can actually develop statistics from that. And that's basically what the system does that Dr. Sadaya and Mike Lieberman have been working on. I'm going to skip this slide here. So the system that we use for this is actually, like I said, an in-house developed system that they've been working on for a number of years. And there's quite a bit recently, more research going on with that. They've been working with AMS and some others doing some actual, not just looking at total counts of trash, but actually identifying that trash in a sample. And they've been pretty successful. But we call it CDIS. It's our Cotton Trash Identification System. It's a Windows-based system that was developed at the Ginning Lab in Las Cruces. I'm not going to go into all the hardware and all the software stuff because I don't really understand it. But I'll let you know that it does seem to work fairly well. They've done quite a bit of work on it, and we have some good data from that. Again, the system that we use, it's capable of using either a camera-type system or a scanner. We used a scanner in this project mainly because one of the main reasons is it's easier to train a technician to put a sample down on a scanner and get a good compression so we don't have too many shadows or voids and get a good image that way. So that's how we did this work. Now the cotton that we used, we had a very large sample of cotton. It was from some research that we did, a belt-wide study on some Cotton Incorporated supported research, where we went to 13 different gins over two seasons, and we collected samples at many different places in the gin. But for this research in particular, we looked at lint that was collected before lint cleaning, right after the gin stand, after the first lint cleaner, and also the second lint cleaner. And in each one of those gins, we had at least three different sampling times we went to that gin for each year. And then there were five replicates at each gin for each sampling time. When we tried to take all five of those replicates during the same module, so hopefully the cotton was similar. And over the course of those 2 years, we were able to capture 15 different varieties. So we have a pretty large set of data and samples that we were able to analyze and look at. And we've done all kinds of things to them. We did HVI analysis at Cotton Incorporated. They did Rent APHIS analysis and also MDTA3. And we brought all those samples back to our lab and ran our CDIS identification system on them. So there's quite a lot. My technician was a little bit overwhelmed because it ended up being about over 2,500 images that she had to take, and it took a while to get the samples prepped and stuff, but I guess it's job security. So here's an example of an image, a raw image on the left-hand side of some cotton that we took. One of the reasons we wanted to use our CDIS system, at least for the research that I did for particle size distribution, was that we have a larger area than what you might see with APHIS, a larger sample. And you can see here on the right-hand side the segmented image where we've basically taken the trash and isolated it from the background so you have a black and white image. And then we can then take those black specks and size them and put them in categories to give us our PSD, our particle size distribution. Here's another example of the same thing, similar cotton, but this one has a little bit different type of trash in it. You can see it does a pretty good job of eliminating dark spots and some shadows, and not picking those up as trash. We always have a little bit of that, but it does quite a pretty good job. And then here's another sample. This is actually a sample from the second season. There's not much difference here. Just give you an idea of what type of cotton we're looking at. And all three of these samples actually were before lint cleaning, so there's a little bit more trash in them. We could have given you some more examples of cotton that was afterwards, but you would see very few particles. It's not as exciting, and I don't want to bore you. So, all right, I'm just going to show you some quick results here. We don't have a lot of results at this time. He's still working on it. Dr. Sadai is obviously very busy trying to get ready for a new one coming, but he wanted to have something. And the main thing that he did actually was run some correlations between his system, the CDIS system, with APHIS, HVI, and MDTA3 trash. A lot of this work has already been done in terms of these types of analysis, but this was another opportunity with a whole different set of cottons in a pretty wide range. So, and we already had the images for some of my work, so he thought he would just go ahead and go through this again. And unfortunately for him, he was a little bit disappointed in how it turned out this time. If you see these correlations here, if we look at the APHIS numbers across the top and how they correlate with HVI and CDIS and MDTA3, the correlations are quite low except between APHIS and MDTA3. And what we really want to look at is the CDIS numbers. If I can get this again, we can see CDIS with HVI and CDIS with MDTA3. The numbers aren't that great. 70% isn't bad for an R-squared value, but we were hoping for a little bit higher, and they would have been higher in the past. And so one of the things we have to do is go back in and look at why we have these differences. Why is the correlation not quite as high? You'll notice that, and you'll see this in, this is for the 2005-2006 data, that CDIS had a much better correlation with HVI, while APHIS correlated better with MDTA3. So there was a little bit difference in how they correlated with each other and other measurements that we use. If we look at the APHIS measurements and the CDIS just together, and then also look at the different trash counts and dust count, we can see the correlations are not very good. They're all less than 50%. And of course, the trash count would be particles greater than 500 microns, and dust would be smaller. And again, these are lower than we had before, and so we need to go back and kind of look at where those differences might have occurred, what kind of variability we have in the measurements, and that's really something we want to look at anyway. For the 2006 data, the correlations even got a little bit worse. So we can see the same trends, though. APHIS tended to be better with MDTA3, while CDIS tended to be better with HVI. And so at least that continued. And again, we need to go back and look at that. That may be a function of size of image sample that we're looking at. We're not really sure. And so we need to take a look at that. One thing about MDTA3, of course, is that it's more of a mass type of measurement. It's a larger sample. And it's an overall trash. We don't actually get any kind of distribution, so that may be come into play here also. And again, this is the APHIS and CDIS measurements together. Actually, APHIS and CDIS in the second year tended to agree a little bit more. And so, of course, with cotton, there's going to be variability, and we need to go in and look at that. The nice thing about this project is we have a lot of samples, so we can do some statistics on it, and hopefully we'll be able to figure out what's going on there. These are some of the histograms that we put together, and actually the main thrust of the research I did that was in conjunction with this was looking at particle size distribution due to lint cleaning, how it changes, and try to figure out what kind of particles are we taking out of the lint cleaners and what size are we leaving in. And you'll see here, these are actually two different samples. They're both before lint cleaning. One thing you'll notice is that in the red is the CDIS counts and the blue is the APHIS, is that down towards the smaller end of the spectrum, down below about 200, 150 microns, CDIS tended always to identify more particles, more smaller particles. I'm not sure if that basically is just a function of resolution. All of ours were taken at 400 dpi, and I believe APHIS, I know HVI is lower. I'm not sure APHIS goes into effect, but we see that there is a large, pretty big difference there in the lower end. And then as the particles get larger, APHIS tended to pick up more larger particles. And so we don't know if that small particles are overlaid and we are able to differentiate them, or whether or not and APHIS tended to put them in the larger bins. But we need to go back and do some more analysis on that also to see why there's that difference. For us, it's not really a big deal that there is a difference. We're hoping that, of course, Dr. Sadaya thinks his system is better anyway. So there just seems to be a difference, and we'd like to figure out why. If you look at after lint cleaning, we see that the same type of trend is there again. We tend to pick up more particles in the bottom than APHIS does, but then as we get larger particles, APHIS seems to categorize those more in the larger sizes. So there is some work there to do to try to figure out how those, why those are different. Of course, that accounts for the poor correlations between the two, and so that's something that explains that. So what do we get from this so far? Just from this amount of research we've done so far, this preliminary analysis, is that the CDIS scanner tends to identify more smaller trash, stuff on the smaller end of the spectrum. We get that the higher amount. There is very poor correlation between APHIS, HVI, and CDIS, at least in this test, and that is actually inconsistent with some of the results we had before. We had much higher correlations than some of the research that he did in years past when he was actually developing this system. He's pretty much gone past the development part and is into trying to implement this now. So what are we going to try to go from here? We need to look more at the reliability, the reproducibility, the prediction of these systems. Go back and look at raw data and look at the variability in the measurements themselves. We know that APHIS and our system, we use repeated measures in order to get the averages. We'd like to look at standard deviations of those measurements to see if there's some variability there and which one might give us a more reproducible measurement. We might consider image analysis of the MDTA trash itself. I know over in Stoneville, Cliff Boykins picks through the MDTA trash to see what's in it. We might get the trash itself and do a particle size analysis to see what types of particles are there. Try to identify the trash source, possibly, and then maybe try to extrapolate this and some of the work I'm doing into what happens in the spinning mills. So there's quite a bit of work to do, and we've got a big pile of data to work on. So, well, thank you.
Any questions?
I think he has in the past, Dr. Sadai has, but I can't tell you for sure all that he's done. He's been working on it for a long time.
And do you break out your images to C-code and regular trash and mark?
Well, he has the ability. In this research work we were doing, we were only looking at just particle dust size or trash size. But he, in some of the other work that he and Dr. and Mike Lieberman have done, their system is used to categorize those not only by size but also type: bark, grass, stick, leaf, and I don't know about C-coat nets or C-coat fragments, but at least in those other ways they've been working on using that and doing that. So. And I think Mike Lieberman actually gave a presentation earlier today on that side of it, identifying what types they were.
What is the relative, is there an impact on the relative size of sample between the MDTA, the CETUS, and APHIS?
I think there is, because, you know, APHIS uses a very small sample. And I think that's probably part of the reason we have some differences there. The images we were looking at were 5x5, 5 inches by 5 inches. So it's a pretty large area compared to HBI.
3x3.
So it's quite a bit larger. And I think that, you know, in the future, you know, HBI and those things, is going to go to larger areas. You know, I think it makes more sense. That's what the cluster sees.
Right.
So, and MDTA 3 uses what size? 5 grams.
Uses 5 grams. The other thing that I'm talking about here is that some of the differences that you're probably seeing on the higher counts with your CTIS unit versus the APHIS and the lower microns. The handling of the slivers when you're doing that, you're probably losing a good bit
some
of those fine
particles. Some of the interesting thing I found in my research, if it's not in here, is that when we looked at either APHIS or the CETUS, and it hasn't come out before, I don't think, is that we reduce the number of particles with link cleaning, but we're also increasing actually mean particle size, which is kind of counterintuitive. So. Thank you.